I'll tell you what, I want to start tonight by thanking God for each and every one of you that make up the Living Water Church. And I hope that you've heard this week that you're in a special place. And God is doing a special thing with you. And God is going to continue to do a special thing with you. These times are new times for us, would you agree? Now, they're not new times, they're just new times for us. If you read a little bit of history, we've seen these times before where great nations have turned away from God. And we're a nation right now turning away from God. And what's so sad, what my frustrating thing is that we just all kind of want to sit around, and we're from Kentucky. So this is the way we do it. We say, well, it'll be all right. Well, let me help you. It's not going to be all right. And if you're without Jesus Christ tonight, it's not going to be all right. Now, I know that I'm not supposed to talk about judgment or accountability or those things, that those aren't politically correct. But I haven't been politically correct since my birth, so I didn't see any reason to start now. In fact, I have read the Bible over and over. I can even read it backwards because that's the way Hebrew is written. And I have come to the conclusion, not one place in the Bible, because I've searched for it, where political correctness will set you free. But let me tell you what will. Truth. I can tell you what Jesus said. He said the truth will set you free. And I don't know about you, but I'll die for my freedom. How many of y'all will die for your freedom? For your freedom. In fact, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have died for your freedom. You already done it. Some of you did it. Some of you girls did it last night. You said, Lord Jesus, I don't want the old me. And so I want you to take the old me and I want you to forgive me. And now I'd like to walk in a new me. Isn't that really what goes on in this spiritual experience? So, last night of revival, here's what I'm telling you. I pray that you become a church full of new me's. And this is great if you're married to somebody. You might not like the old me, but you might really fall madly in love with the new me. What do you think? It's so funny. Marriage is a tough thing. That's a tough thing. How many of y'all are married? Man, it's tough, isn't it? Sometimes I don't like my wife. And you know what? Y'all may find it's very hard to believe. She doesn't like me. But you know what I found? We are madly in love with each other. And I find when we look at the new me and the new her, those two get along really good. It's the old me and the old her that don't do really good. You know what I mean? And so I want you to know, if you're a follower in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been purposed for divine activity. So if you don't mind, just look and go, you got some divine activity. Here, let's simplify that. No, let's simplify. That's too complicated. I want you to tell somebody to be divine action. Tell them, be divine action. Be divine action. Are we going to break? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Did y'all realize that this is a whole crew of divine action over here? See, we forget. We watch the news too much. You know what I'm talking about? We look at the news and we go, oh, 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 oh. And then we just get messed up. We think a president can change things. If you're not over that by now, I'm going to ask God to forgive you for your stupidity. And we had a whole nation wooed, conned with hope and change. I never got conned because, you see, I follow Jesus, and I know humanity is incapable of human change. Now, before you all get so excited, Reagan didn't change anything either. And George Washington didn't change anything. You know how I know? They're dead. And 3 days later, they were still dead. But you and I get to celebrate the King of Kings, who on the third day has risen from the grave and brings his people to life. I hope. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to talk to you about some stuff tonight. And some of you are going to get squirmy wormy. Because I'm going to talk about, we got to invest what God has given us. Now, church, I want to tell you one thing that set this church on fire. What's this? I want you to know that everything you got to do has already been funded. Everything you got to do has already been funded. See, we got to get over a lie of the devil. Because watch this. Everybody here tithe? No. 2%. I saw your budget and I've seen your cars. Doesn't match. Or you're like my church, I've seen your trucks, which cost more than Cadillacs. It's time for us to get honest in the kingdom of God. I mean, we just got to get honest in the kingdom of God. Watch this. I dare say what God's doing here. If you all tithe in this church, everybody tithe. Now, guess what everybody tithing means? Everybody gives 10% of what they make. And if you got to ask me if it's net or gross, your attitude's off right off the bat. However you figure what you make. God doesn't care. 10% of what you make. Here's what I want to tell you. You will never outgive God. Ever. Can you imagine if this church tithed, what would happen? My church isn't tithing yet, but it's getting better. We get better every year. We get some more tithers. In fact, our executive pastor, he's going like, people are giving. This is blowing me away. You know why people are giving? They're becoming spiritually mature. In the beginning of our church, they just thought if we did a bunch of busy work, that qualified. No, we got to begin to do what God tells us to do. And so I'm going to take you to, if you've been to Sunday school Bible study, this is a familiar passage of Scripture. If you've never been to church, this is going to blow you away because God's attitude is exactly opposite of what we see today. God's attitude is 180 of what we see today. So let's pray. Here's what I'm praying tonight, that you will receive truth that will set this church in motion to work the impossible. I want you all to be a church that works, Pastor Grant, the impossible. And you know why I can preach this here? That's what you want. I can't preach this message in every church. You know why? I want you to see what God's giving you right off the bat. He's giving you Pastor Grant, and Pastor Grant is full of the Holy Spirit, and if he doesn't listen, Michelle fills him in on what he should hear. That's a great pastor's wife. Makes sense? If I was to be on my shorts, you'd see my chicken legs, and my calves are flattened on both calves, and that's where my wife has kicked me for the last 31 years and flattened my calves. Straighten up. Yes, ma'am. Pastor John, excellent gifted guy. His wife, excellent gifted woman. You have good leadership in this church. Amen? Now, God's going to raise up some other people in leadership. Now, I want you to dream tonight. This is a dream sermon tonight. What would happen if every one of you did your part? Now you see what could be in America. But here's what the devil's done. You got to watch the devil. He's slick. The dude's a liar. And he sounds good. The devil doesn't come to us like some evil entity. The devil comes to us and makes human sense. What he doesn't make is divine action. See the difference? And so I want to challenge you guys to just think, listen. This is all I talk. People ask me, these pastors, you know, for some reason I've gotten older. And I got all these young pastors. Pastor Harris, what do you do about money in your church? Tithe. Jeff, I want to relieve you. You don't got to do all this thermometer, all this jazz, all this carnival activity in God's church. It sickens God's heart. It sickens God's heart. God didn't call us to a carnival. Go on mission. We should never have to have carnival activity in the church to do what God has called us to do. Every time we have one of those events, we're declaring our disobedience. You'd be amazed. Some of the people that leave don't tithe. So you got a disobedient leader trying to inject obedience. How can that ever work? I told you y'all were going to get real quiet tonight. Because I'm not going after the lost, now I'm going after the saved, aren't I? Y'all aren't amening and jumping up and down like you were last night. Y'all like lost sheep. It's the 99 righteous that make us uncomfortable, huh? Now, come on. I want to wake us up to invest what God has given us, okay? So I got to say some things tonight that are going to blow your mind, and they're all in the Bible, but they're going to fry your mind because they're 180. I'm going to warn you again, they're 180 what you've been taught since kindergarten. My beautiful young people over here, you all have never heard these things, ever. But I'm going to warn you because the devil's conned you worse than all. You know why? They gave you a trophy for showing up. You know how sickening that is? And if you were a part of that kind of behavior, you have conned a generation. You think their boss is going to give them a trophy for showing up? If they don't show up, they're going to give them a pink slip. You got to come through someday, amen? Anybody agree with that? I know y'all don't come for you. You got to come through someday. You got to be accountable and responsible. That's a part of living out the faith. And I want to tell you, Jesus holds us and expects us to be involved in divine action. Let's pray. Lord, I ask simply tonight that we might receive your word and we might be revived to obedience and we might expect the impossible to be worked among us. Dear God, may we not doubt that you will change this city because your people are in it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Go with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at verse 11 and 14 and following. And we're going to look at what is the kingdom of God like? What will it be like? They were asking questions. Jesus is speaking here. If you've noticed, all four messages tonight, who's been telling the message? Jesus. This isn't Apostle Paul, although he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's got authoritative weight. This is who? This is right out of his mouth. So if you disagree with this, who do you disagree with? Good luck. Thank you, Chase. That was appropriate. Good luck. Now, how many of y'all are convinced of this? Jesus loves me, period. Okay, that's absolutely true. I want you to get that. But the love of Jesus calls us to accountability. You see, the love of Jesus calls us to repent. The love of Jesus calls us to not be what we used to be. The love of Jesus calls us to be involved in the things of God. Love doesn't just make us feel good. It moves our feet to change the world. See the difference in that? Now, when I go to the world's definition of love, what the world says love is I tolerate everything. Jesus says, no, because I love you, I do not tolerate some things. You see, love is you do not tolerate some things. Does that make sense? Watch this. God doesn't want anybody here on drugs. Why? Y'all can talk to me on that. Please, please. I hope you have some reasons why God might not want us to do that. Okay, they destroy your life because they make you stupid. Any of y'all ever been around people that are just really drunk? They're not smart when they're really drunk. Amen. Any of y'all ever been really drunk? Got a few honest people here. I might have had that experience. In that situation, I came to realize why God said, don't be drunk. Because I'm not real bright sober, and it goes real downhill thereafter. And guess what? God isn't saying don't have fun. He's saying don't be stupid. And our nation is crashing and falling apart on a daily basis for one thing. Two things really drive our nation's crash. First of all, we do not make good decisions. And second of all, we're apathetic. We're lazy. Now, do y'all realize that laziness is a sin? It's rarely preached on because it convicts too many people. See, when you don't tithe, what are you being? Lazy. That's really the sin. You're being lazy. When you're disobedient, you're being lazy. When you don't eat properly, you're being what? When you don't take care of yourself, what are you being? I was lazy for about 5 years with my health. I weighed about 255 pounds. I was heading to 260. I went to the doctor. He said, "You're going to die." I said, "Well, everybody's going to die." He goes, "Quicker than you think." Why was that happening? Had somebody been mean to me? Had I been a victim? Had my mother not given me good genes? Was I just born that way to die? No, I'd sat on the couch, and guess what I did every night? I'm an addict. I can see it today. I'm going to eat a barrel of it the day I enter heaven. I give me some of that Breyers vanilla bean ice cream. No, I'm like an alcoholic. Three scoops. Boom, boom, boom. And I got me a Snickers bar. And I got a real sharp knife, and I could cut them things listen, it was a masterpiece. I cut them this way, and then I took the knife, boom, cut them in half, and I sprinkled them appropriately. And I ate it bite by bite, savoring each bite as it slid down my throat. I mean, I'm talking big old bowl, too. I ain't talking about a scoop. I'm talking about whoom. And then I would fall asleep in a sugar coma. That's really what I was doing. Now, my wife, when she didn't want to fool with me, she'd just say, "I think you need to get some ice cream." Because she knew I was going to pass out. So you guys, if you're a little bit older, if you're in your 40s and your wife's giving you a lot of ice cream, that ain't because she loves you. That's because she don't want to fool with you. And she knows she'll collect that insurance a lot sooner if you keep eating it. So we got to be, God, watch, I was being lazy. I can confess that. Obviously, I had to put the brakes on that. Obviously, I had to do some things I didn't want to do. And then my wife does something like this. She bought me Skinny Cow ice cream. Ice cream and Skinny Cow do not go together. I tasted a bite of that stuff, and I said, "Listen, I can do without before I eat that. It tasted like styrofoam that somebody had froze." I said, "That's not the real thing. I'll wait till I die and eat some real stuff in heaven." She goes, "You know, you don't need to be eating it here." I said, "I'm aware of that." So guess what? I had to become disciplined against my will. And that's where a lot of us are. To get into His will, we got to let go of what? And I don't know about you, I don't like it. It's not always fun. But God always wants the best for us. He said it's going to be like this. It will be like a man going on a journey. God has come and God has delivered. Who calls His servants and He entrusts to him His property. Now I want you to know, guess what God has entrusted to every one of you here who believe in Jesus in Mount Sterling? Guess what the Lord has given you? Mount Sterling. So you start worrying about Africa after Mount Sterling is totally reached. You got about 20,000 to go. Because you can't speak Swahili unless you're from there. But you all know how to speak Mount Sterling. True? How many of y'all know the culture of Mount Sterling? Some of you, your DNA goes back to when the dinosaurs were on these mountains. God has entrusted to you Mount Sterling. Grant, God has entrusted to you what, brother? Mount Sterling. And right now, He's well pleased. Why? Take a guess. Here, stand up. Let me show you. Come here. Let me show you. Look at all these folks God is bringing to you. God is well pleased. And you know why that's happening? He had a vision. Y'all had a call. Let me tell you what makes a church work. Jesus with a group of followers that will do anything it takes to reach their city. Amen. There's enough of you in here who are convinced that Jesus is Lord. Nothing can stop you. And I'm going to tell you, positive Christians, quit listening to the negative nannies. I don't listen to negative people. You know why? They never get anything done. All they do is eat ice cream. And they eat your spirit, and they eat your vision, and they eat your time, and they eat your effort. And at the end of all that energy expended, there is nothing. And God has never called us to nothing. He didn't die on the cross so he could be celebrated. He died on the cross so that we could be saved. He died on the and rose from the grave so that we could be made alive. Shame on us when we think all there is to the faith is sitting and singing three songs and listening to some preacher once a week for 60 minutes. If that's the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want it. I want a faith that changes my life. I have one. His name is Jesus. I want a faith that gives me a new life. His name is Jesus. I want a faith that says, you know what? I'm going to entrust to you this life. Now go live it. Pretty cool, isn't it, man? That's a high action God. Amen? Give me a little. All right. Good deal. That ain't some sit still God. We don't have a sit still God, and I'm going to show you. He entrusted his property to his servants. How many of y'all realize that God has entrusted you with everything you have? If you're sitting by your wife, look, especially you, Grant, say, thank you, Lord. I love my wife. I didn't get her on my own. Guess what? God gave me my wife. He looked down, he goes, oh, Lord. Well, I guess he just said, oh, me. He looked at me and he said, I got to give you somebody and keep you in line. And he gave me somebody that keeps me in line. I love it. He gave me two beautiful children. He entrusted me to them for 18 years. Parents, your number one ministry the day you have a child is your children. That's your number one ministry. Don't get caught up in the church and forsake your children. That's horrible. Don't raise everybody else's children and let yours go to hell. That's stupid. You're their primary spiritual developer, not the Awanas teacher, you. Awanas, assist. Church, assist. You bring it. God entrusted them to who? You. How many of y'all realize we don't own anything, but God has given us everything? See, when you get like it, I'm going to preach tonight. When you start understanding this, you'll start living. I don't own a house, the bank does. I really don't own my vehicles. They just don't loan. It keeps you from getting wrapped up in what is down here. And it starts pointing you to where you're headed. Amen? Because guess what? He's coming back. How many of y'all understand? He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Just like he said he'd come and he came, he's coming back. Now, I don't know when. You'll have to watch one of them TV channels to find out when. Don't buy their books, though. If a man really believed Jesus was coming back next month, he wouldn't be selling his book this month. Amen? You can kite a loan that long. All right, check this out. Here's what he did. He gave everybody something. If you don't mind, look at somebody and say, you got something. Oh, I like that. We got a preacher in the back there. You got something. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1. For all you equality people, there is no such thing. Equality is a unicorn. You know what I mean by that? What's the problem with unicorns? Neither does equality. That's why we've never been able to find it. Because it doesn't exist. How many of y'all have ever been on a unicorn hunt and bagged one? You might have been on a hunt, but you didn't see one, did you? Now watch this. Here's where we've messed each other up in a big way. You see, the servant is God. It's Jesus. And he gave 1 5, and he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 what? He gave everybody something. That's what's important. But God doesn't give everybody the same thing. He never has. And the problem with the way we define equality today, it is killing our world. Not everybody needs to go to college. Some people need to be like Will. Be a singing plumber, baby. To the glory of God. Amen, Will? I saw Will. Will, is this your lovely wife? Well, you outkicked your coverage, didn't you? Huh? So guess what happened? Let's get Will. I see Will. He's got this cool van. Y'all ever seen Will's van? You know, Will's one of these attention deficit people. You can tell he can't stand still. He can't even sit still when he drives. He'd come across. I'm like, man, Grant, that brother's on fire. For toilets in Jesus. How cool is that? Where do you find that? I mean, you got a great line of evangelism. You think this is some bad stuff. You ought to see what's in your life. And I can't get that, but I know who can. Everybody's got something. Do you understand? Everybody is valuable. Everybody is created by God. Well, this started slipping off when the scientists told us that we weren't created by a creator, but we were some kind of metaphysical, involving a cell that just kind of arrived randomly. Now, if you believe that, you really got some faith. See, I believe there's a God that made you. And I'll always believe that there's a God that made you. And he paused when he made us. He made everything, but when he looked at us, he went, I like it. And God made males and God made females. Amen? Have you men ever wondered why you didn't understand a woman? Any of y'all have problems with understanding women? Well, you ought to go to the Bible and look why. He put us into a deep coma when he made her. You know how she got her name, don't you? Adam woke up and he went, whoa, man. What is this, Lord? It's a creature fit for you. Isn't it cool? Everybody's got something. And the Bible tells us this. It's not about being male. It's not about being female. It's not about being Jew. It's not about being Gentile. It's not about being slave. It's not about being free. It's about being free. And we all got something, man. We all got something. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, to one he gave one. Now this is going to blow you away. The amount is irrelevant to God. The amount is irrelevant to God. Why? This is not a great church because you all have a lot of people here. I've been to churches that aren't great churches that have twice as many people as you all do. They just have 1,000 dead people sitting there. They have 1,000 unfaithful people sitting there. It's not about the crowd that shows up. It's about the attitude of the crowd. Amen. Make sense? Amen. You can have 12 faithful people in Jesus Christ, and they'll take out 1,200 unfaithful people. Amen. You ever try to whip a guy that's convinced? You, Deputy, you ever had that one? Huh? How are they? Because they're what? They're convinced. What if we got convinced that what God's given us needs to be shared? He gave 1 5, gave 1 2, gave 1 1, and I want to show you what they did with it. You got to do something with what Jesus has given you. Now please write that down. Pastor, you got to do something with what Jesus has given you. Now, Living Water, when I came here the first time, y'all were over there in that little shotgun church, and everything was wonderful, and y'all probably had some people leave since then, right? Because it got too big. See, it was no longer about them. It became about God. And people that want to be about them, they hate it when it becomes about God. Now, I'm going to show you something here, and I want you to catch this. Well, he gave everybody something, the three something. 5, 2, 1. Numbers irrelevant. Attitude is everything. Let me tell you what happened. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. I want you to know we're supposed to be about what? What's the 2 words that are similar in those 2 experiences? Pastor, what are the 2 words that are in textual words? 5 guy went out and made 5 more. The 2 guy went out and made 2 more. What word is operating? More. Lord, I want more of your love. Lord, I want more of your grace. Lord, I want more of your spirit. Lord, I want more of your activity in my life. Lord, I want more of who you are and less of who I am. How many of y'all need to drink more of Jesus and less of you? Because we're all about us, amen? We take selfies. You know why y'all take selfies? Because you ain't done nothing where everybody else wants to take a picture of you. My wife's got one of them Snoop books. You know, Facebook Snoop books, what I call it. Everybody's snooping on each other. And people, their statuses crack me up. In the bathroom. See, I wish instead of having like, they had a box, who cares? They need that box to check. Who cares? You want me to tell you who cares? You do. You want me to tell you who else cares? Nobody. I hate to disappoint you. Nobody. We're the only culture that does our own self-publicist. Selfies. Isn't that the way you do it? My kids do it. Oh, yeah, somebody's made $1 billion on a selfie stick. I wish I'd have thought that up. But what? I want you to see who we are and who we've become. We're so consumed with ourselves that we won't go do what God asks us to do. And let me help you. It's crept into the church. Because we ask questions like this. How does it please me? I get so tired of people coming up to me. Well, I got to pray about it and see if the Lord wants me to do it. Why don't you just read the Bible and you can pray less? And then I love this one. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. You reckon Jesus was comfortable hiking a big piece of wood up on his back up on the hill? You reckon he just had a big old cross on his back, spikes in his head, been beat half to death, and he was going, I just feel at peace with this experience. See, to go and invest means this, you're willing to get uncomfortable for God. My wife didn't come from a tithing family. So the first time we got married, she handles the everyday finances. And I'm young, and I look, and I said, you take 10% off the top of that. She said, what? I said, you didn't tithe? I said, we in this together, 10% comes off the top. She said, what if you go broke? I said, they say you don't go broke if you do that. She said, you know what I make? I said, honey, we're already broke. I remember when we started the church in 1991, it didn't work out on paper. I came in, I said, honey, I hate to tell you this, but God's calling me to this broke down church over here. I really feel that. She said, well, I already knew. I said, they ain't got any money. She said, you ain't made any yet, so why is that a surprise? I drug her through graduate school. Now, she got faith. I didn't have quite as much faith. I said, to the best of my calculations, you recalculate, this don't work out. She said, you supposed to go? I said, I think I really am. I remember standing in the pulpit that first Sunday, and I looked over at those 30 people, and none of them were real impressive. You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, Lord, I've either heard you or this is going in the top 5 blunders so far. And there had already been some big ones. Do you know what? I trusted God, and we just went day by day by day. And guess what? It didn't work out month by month. But somehow God worked it out month by month. So I came in the first month and I said, well, honey, you know, really, if you look at it, I'm working for a lot less than I could be working for, so that would be a tithe. She said, honey, you know, I would agree with that if the first check we had, you said it comes off the top no matter what. So guess what? It's coming off the top no matter what. I went, you're going to break us. You said you never go broke if you do this. Here's what I want you to know. To go invest 5 and then go invest 2, it gets real scary sometimes. Because when you go invest it, you risk it. I want you to know God honors the people that will risk for his kingdom. So the guy went and risked it with 5. He risked. He could have lost it. But he made 5 more. The guy with 2, guess what he did, Pastor Grant? He risked it. And he made 2 more. Living Water Church, are you willing to risk this for the city? You see, it wasn't hard to risk a storefront church. And really, Grant, the shotgun church, boy, there's a big risk. Now we got 60,000 square feet. We got some colored lights. We got a cool baptistry. We got biscuits and gravy on Sunday morning. We got a whole back end that could be turned into all kinds of cool things for us. Are we going to pleasure ourselves? Or are we going to stand before God and say, God, you gave us 500, and here's 500 more. Amen. And after you get to 1,000, God, you gave us 1,000, and here's 1,000 more. And after you get to 2,000, you look back and say, Lord, here's 2,000 more. Do y'all see what's happening? What's happening to the city? Changing. Now, I'm not saying you got to do them. Jeff, don't panic. I'm not saying you got to build a whole church for everybody in the city. We got enough empty ones around here to fill it up for everybody. Amen? I send as many people to other churches as I bring to ours. I do. I've told people, I said, don't come to our church. You an Oregon guy. Let me send you down there to the Oregon guy. Man, they love Jesus down there. They preach the cross and resurrection. You need organs. I'm a guitar guy. We ain't even Christian contemporary. We're rock and roll, baby. We don't even twang it out. Only 2 years ago did we put the drummer in a cage. Churches are scared of drums. They cage the drummer. I understand that. You seen some of them? I was a drummer. That's the non-musician in the group. It's the drummer. Makes sense? Five more. Two more. What are you investing? Because when you stand in judgment, what have you done with your life? There's one thing we got to get rid of, and it's plaguing the church. And let's get rid of it on this altar tonight. Let's get rid of it. If you've never tithed, I challenge you to tithe. If you've never taught and you know how to teach, teach. If you can sing, sing. Now, if you can't sing, don't. I'm in Mount Sterling. How many of y'all been through that revival? Oh, gosh, I used to just have to. And I never lied. I never lied from the pulpit. I take the pulpit really serious. I don't like lying from the pulpit. Did y'all ever go through this one in a church? The deacon's daughter that can't sing had to bring the special that wasn't special. And then she gets up here like this. Well, I really can't sing. I want to go then sit down. But the Lord's told me to do this. And after she sang, I said, wrong Lord. No, it's awful. I've heard some of the most awful singing in my life in the church. And you know what we do? We just sit there and go, well, it's just church. Why are we less than when we should be the greatest of these? You can't sing in our church unless you can sing. You can't teach unless you can teach. You can't lead unless you can, guess what? Lead. Because we learned a long time ago, God didn't give us all the same things. Our praise and worship leader has never invited me to do special music. You know why? Because there wouldn't be nothing special about it. You see what I'm saying? And he loves God that much. Well, guess what? Eventually he comes back. How many of y'all have ever had somebody come back? They come back and you got to be held accountable. It's time to get on the comeback. I remember when my wife used to go out of town, it was just me and my son hanging out, or me and my son and my daughter, and it was just us. Man, we had a blast without her being there. You know what we did? We all threw our socks on the living room, right in the middle of the floor, because we weren't allowed to do that when she was there. We ordered pizza out and left the boxes everywhere. In fact, I was helping my son get ready for college one day. He didn't know it. He called one day from the dorm room. He said, Dad, I was laughing. My dorm room just looks like the living room did when it was just me and you there without Mom. I said, son, I was coaching you up on how to do it. Thank God for cell phones. It's the only thing I like about cell phones. She would call when she landed in Nashville. And that was the 45-minute warning for he and I to get everything cleaned up. Did I tell you, the one who had one, guess what he did? He went and hid what he had. Because he forgot something that was very important. The master had entrusted him, and he was coming back. Well, one day, my wife forgot to call us. and she just arrived at the premises. This was a day of judgment. And I did not go to heaven on that day. That's the way a lot of us live our lives. We think God's going to call us 45 minutes before he comes back. And he's not. He's just going to show up. And there's going to be a great trumpet. Just like the Bible says, there's going to be a great trumpet. There's going to be a horn. In fact, I've asked God. I said, God, if I'm here when the horn goes off, would you stand me beside so-and-so, 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 and so-and-so? Because I want to stand there and look to the east and go, told you. Because they've been talking about my mythological Jesus. I'm going to say, you hear that mythological horn? Boom. You see the head of that big white horse? Boom. You see that double-edged sword? I told you he was not the hippie you thought he was. You know what's coming in this moment? Judgment. Now, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have received all the things that Jesus Christ has truly said and you believe that that Bible is the Word of God and you've taken God at His Word, judgment should not scare you. You know why? You've already been judged. God judged you worthy of His salvation. How dare you say you can't give everything to God? My question is, how can you not? So you got to get your eyes off yourself and your eyes toward heaven and everything will change. It was a problem with a guy that only had one. You know what I think he did? He did exactly what Americans do. They look at everything everybody else has instead of looking at what God has given them. And they live without because they never invest what they have. Young people, hear me. Invest what God's given you. But quit looking at what somebody else has got. That's what God gave them. Amen? That's what God gave them. You want to live a full and abundant life? Live in what God gave you. So guess what the guy with one talent did? Here's what he did. So also who he had two talents went and got two more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. How many of y'all got God's gifts hid? God's talents hid? How many of y'all been hiding God's money? I want to be real straight with you. Every time you were a believer and you did not tithe what God had given you, you have hid what God required. You know why you got financial problems? You're not tither. I'm going to blow you away. I've never dealt with financial problems with a tither. My good buddy, Dave Ramsey, some of y'all may listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio. Dave Ramsey will even teach you this. Dave Ramsey's worth multi-millions of dollars because guess what? He invested what God had given him after he went broke doing it the world's way. He started doing it God's way, and now he's able to bless thousands of people, literally millions of people. You know why? Guess what Dave Ramsey teaches? Right there to secular America. You better tithe unto God. None of this works unless you do what? Tithe unto God. You know why? If you're willing to yield to the master can use you for anything. Don't hide. Give. Cool deal? Is that cool? Now, what am I talking about tonight? Money or obedience? Obedience. There, now you got it. It ain't got nothing to do with money. If God wanted your money, you'd be a greasy spot on the sidewalk. Now, guess what? Once you release that tithe to the church, then the church is accountable to how it's used. You give freely and trust it. You go, well, I don't like what they're spending it on. God will take care of that. You yield unto God, God will take care of everything else. How many of y'all found that to be true? Good. Eric, you got a little, not that you're old, but you do have some miles. Would you agree? So guess what? Those miles tell me you know what you're talking about. That's what it means to be giving. By the way, when you die, how much money you get to take with you? There you go. Don't leave it to your kids. Give them an education and tell them good luck. I told my kids that, boy, both of them study hard. I'm not lying, they study hard. I said, there will not be a dime on the day that I die. And my son said, he ain't lying. I want it invested. I want it in motion. I want God to look at me and say, what'd you do with what I gave you? I said, Lord, I'll try to do my best with everything you gave me. I'm a one-talent guy. All I can do is talk. I'm not lying. I've been doing it since I was born. My daddy told me, he said, when you were 2 years old, son, I had no idea what you were going to be. You'd be in the grocery store. We'd have you up in the cart, one of them seats turned around, and you'd be looking at everybody saying, hi, hi, how you doing? He said, I was very fearful. Well, I didn't know what you were going to become. Kind of reminds me of a story. Man wondered what his son was going to become. Y'all ever wonder what your children are going to become? He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay out some situations and see what he's going to become. So he put a bottle of whiskey in there. He said, if he touches that, he'll be a drunk. He put a kind of one of them girly magazines out there. He said, if he touches that, he'll be a womanizer. He put a Bible out there, and he said, if he touches that, he'll be a preacher. And he put some money out there. He said, if he touches that, he'll be a businessman. He hid behind the door. His son came home from school real quick. His son looked at the kitchen table. You know what he did? Took him a little sip of that whiskey, took him a peek on that girly magazine, read him a verse of scripture, and put the money in his pocket. His dad went, Lord have mercy, he's going to be a politician. What are you going to be? I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. How many of y'all want to be a follower of Jesus? Well, I want to tell you something. I'm going to wrap it up right here. Daddy's coming home. And when he comes home, I hope he says this about the Living Water Crew. He calls us together as a church and as individuals. The servant came home. Not long after that, the master came home, just like my wife did. Didn't call or nothing, just came home, walked in the living room, saw socks and pizza boxes laying in her living room. She was a lot worse than God was being. There was no grace in the house that day. And you know what? He who received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more, saying, Master, you delivered and you gave me 5 talents here. I have 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. That's where it's at. And then guess what? He also, the guy with the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents here. I've made 2 more. And the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will give you much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who also had received the 1 talent came forward saying, note this. Y'all are mature enough to handle this. Have you noticed how those who do it right say little and those who do nothing at all talk a lot? I found this in the church. Everybody that always wants something never gives nothing. People would ask me all the time, when are we going to start that children's building? I said, when you hand me a $4 million check. So y'all, once again, y'all are thanking God every day for Grant. There's rough pastors out there. I'm one of them. See, we want to talk about it, but we don't want to be a part of the action of it. We want somebody else to do it. Guess what? There's an accountability to do things with your faith. He who had received the 1 talent, look what he said. Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what's yours. Here's the error of that. It wasn't his. He gave it to him. And guess what happened to him? His master had asked him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I had no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. I'm going to stop there tonight. He gets cast out, and I want you to hear this verse. Verse 29, listen. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But everyone who has not, even what he has
will be taken away. Now, I want you to listen to me. Chelsea, if you don't mind, hold up just a second. This looks like a cruel judgment. You know why the one servant didn't invest? He didn't know his master. Do you? He didn't know him. They'd been around him, hadn't he, Chelsea? Obviously, the master knew him. I mean, he'd been on the he'd been a servant. But guess what he didn't know? This is what breaks my heart. He didn't know the love of his master. You know why? You know why he was cast away? Not because he didn't invest, but because he didn't know his master. His master didn't harvest where he wasn't supposed to. His master didn't cheat and didn't steal. His master blessed his servants. When I hear people say this, it cuts my heart.
All the church does wants your money.
What? We're talking about our wretched souls being saved forever. You see, the other two got it. Their master was their everything. So they would do anything. And they lived to please the... So I want to invite you tonight to live to please the what? So first, pleasing. If you're a sinner that needs to be saved, guess what pleases the master? Saving you. Pretty cool, isn't it? The first thing God wants to do is forgive you of all your sins so he can bring you into the kingdom. You say, what's he going to give me? Love, joy, peace. Now guess what he wants you to do with your love, joy, peace? Share it. You got it, Bill. You're a good example. You got more than a few miles on you. You've been living it out. Hey. Watch this. You came in and you were excited about Jesus, not in some hokey, stupid way. Not you. Watch this, Bill. You know how I know you're for real? You don't say, look at Bill. You say, look at Jesus. Bill said, I keep trying to share with people. I said, Bill, just share with them. We ain't in charge of the dial-up. We're in charge of the call. That make sense? How many of y'all ready to see what God might do with this place? Amen. Young men and women, invest in your marriage. If God's given you children, invest in your children. Children, invest at that house. Parents, I want to give you a heads up. Do not let your children quit. If your coach doesn't like them, say, you think that's bad, wait till your wife doesn't like you. You got to sleep with her every night. So we're going to practice to the end of the season you functioning with somebody not liking you. One thing my mom and dad gave me, they wouldn't let us quit anything, no matter what happened. And so guess what we learned? We were slow about what we chose to get into because we knew we couldn't get out of it till it was over. You know what? My dad looked like a hard man at that time, but he was a loving man. He was a graceful man. You know why? He was teaching me that you're going to have to learn to stay with it, even when it doesn't please you. If you're going to invest five talents, it's not always going to be fun. It's not always fun to have church. Church is not about fun. Nowhere in the Bible did God say, I died on the cross and have risen to the grave so that my people can have fun. Have you found that one? You went to seminary. Is that verse in there? But I hear people saying this all the time. Chelsea, I hear people, they say, well, come to our church. It's fun. I said, well, I can go to Disney and have fun. I don't want to come to church to have fun. I want to come to church to see God. I don't want to come to church. Watch this. No offense. I don't come to church to see you. I come to church to see Jesus. I don't come to church to have biscuits and gravy. I go to Hardee's for that. I come to church to have my soul changed. I don't come to church to see guitars and drums and lights. I can get that in Nashville. You want to see a cool stage set up? There ain't any church that's got a setup like Nashville sets up every Friday night and every Saturday night. But you know what that music in Nashville can't do? Guess what, Chelsea? Guess what that music can't do? Can't save a soul. Entertain you. You can jump up and down to it. You can whine the yellow roses. You can put a cowboy hat on and pretend you're somebody. But it doesn't talk about the cross. And it doesn't talk about a resurrection. And it doesn't talk about eternal glory. I come to church to see Jesus. Why don't you come to church? And I come to church to look at the other Jesus people. And I just want you to get this dream tonight. And I'm done. What if every one of us invested what we had been given? Now, a lot of you are investing things in this church. Thank you. But not all of you are. And I just like to go for the whole thing. You say, well, Pastor, what can I do? Your one talent may be this. You're going to open the door and say, welcome to Living Water Church. But you're the best welcomer ever. And God's going to use that to win thousands of souls. Your talent might be adjusting these lights so they get cool beams and cool reflections. God's going to use that. Make sense? But I tell you what God cannot use. I want to close on this. Please do not get caught up in what you're doing. But be at great mercy for what God's doing in you. I told you all, our church, there for a period of time, we had a very tough time. We had a very tough time because our praise and worship people got all puffed up. So on Sunday morning, we were having American Idol. And then on Wednesday night, we were doing Iron Chef. We were having cook-offs. Sometimes people that don't sing as well sing better. Because if you sing with great talent and an impure heart, it's just music. If you sing with everything God's given you to sing with and you sing to the glory of God, people are changed. I can tell a difference instantly. Because people that sing for the glory of God, they just sing. People that sing for their own glory, make sure they let you know that they're singing for God's glory. People that preach, just preach. People that preach to their own glory, tell you how they're going to do that. You ever been with somebody that took 15 minutes to tell you how humble they were? The reason for that, they're not humble. I respect Donald Trump for this. Never one time has he accused himself of being humble. At least he's self-aware. He says, I'm arrogant, I'm a bulldog, I'm on my way. At least he's honest. Y'all ready? Tonight, Lord Jesus, whoever's not saved, may they leave here saved. It's revival. Thank God for baptisms. Tonight, listen, look at me. Y'all don't have to bow your heads. Look at me. God's already speaking to all of us. If you're having financial trouble, I would come forward and ask God what you're investing. I got some cool stories. Crazy stuff happens. Got a buddy of mine. In fact, he and I are business partners on a deal. And every once in a while, God gives me a word, very rare. I mean, you know, it's not every Sunday. It's not like TV. I don't get them on a regular basis, Grant. But I said, some of you guys are going to do some things in business that are going to be extraordinarily crazy that you've never seen because you are givers and that's going to be invested. He had just lost his job. He came to me and he goes, this is going to sound ridiculous. The Lord spoke to me when you said that and I just lost my job this week. I said, we'll see what happens. He went in partnership with another company. Now he owns that company. He's a multimillionaire. But he didn't become a multimillionaire because he wanted to be a multimillionaire. He became a millionaire because he's an investor in the kingdom of God, and God resources his church from people that are faithful. So quit fearing people that have done well. Some of them are from God. I mean, would you all be opposed if you had a guy that made $30 million a year and he decided to tithe? Jeff, that's more than your present budget. Where's Mike? Mike, I figured I'd put you in hallelujahs over that one right there. We can work without that, amen? Mike, I'm really on your side, brother, because guess what? I really believe this. If we would just be obedient to God, we'd never have to go to the bank. The only reason we got to go to the bank is because we're not obedient to God. It's already here. So I wanted to encourage you because guess what? That's going to be a next step in doing the church. Churches grow with three things: gospel preaching, faithful followers, and the resources to make it happen. It's not a magic formula. So guess what? Preach Jesus, love people, and give faithfully. And that causes church to explode everywhere. That kind of sounds like this. Go, love, and gather. Guess what the guy with 5 and 2 did? They went, go, they loved their master, and they gathered their investment. Pretty neat, isn't it? All right, I love y'all. Let's stand up. I hope we come to the altar. If you're not a member of this church, I'd join. I would. Hey, Pastor Grant, when I retire, I might just move to Mount Sterling. I'm not going to be associate pastor or nothing. I'm just going to be an old codger that pesters you constantly. Me and Bill work a door together. Right now, I still get to preach. I preach hard. Y'all might not have noticed that. In fact, I plan on preaching out. Then I plan on grinning and getting with young bucks and say, hey, boy, come over here. Quit being so soft. Tell it like it is. Because if they all like you, I know you ain't preaching Jesus. Sometimes you've got to bring these young preachers to reality. I told a crew of them, I said, your wife don't like you. Don't expect the rest of the congregation to. You like, I'm not going to put you, you're too nice for me to do that to Grant. Sometimes y'all don't like Grant. Let me help you. Sometimes he don't like y'all. But he's just a lot nicer than I am. I just tell people that. I mean, I've had people come up to my church and go, Pastor, I really don't like you. And I go, ditto. So what do we need to deal with? And they'll go, well, I don't like you. I go, I don't like you. I don't like your personality. I don't like the way you do your family. I don't like the way you treat your husband. I don't like a lot of things about you, but I want to minister with you. I said, if it's about liking church people, I'd been doing something else a long time ago. In fact, I like my sinful buddies better than most church people. At least they're kind, compassionate, forgiving, loving, and work together. I'm not lying. You don't have to tell them to go to the hospital. They just show up for each other. I used to ride motorcycles, and they'd call me. Hey, Rev, you come with me, go see Billy Bob. I said, what's the matter? He dumped it in the ditch, man. He tore half his leg off. I guess when... I've never had a church member call me and say, hey, I need to go to the hospital with you. Never. They always do this. Do you know Miss Betty's in the hospital and you haven't been yet? I go, well, the reason for that is I didn't know she was in the hospital. In fact, church people don't say hospital. They say hospital. Praise God y'all don't do all that stupid stuff. I laugh about some of it, but another side of me doesn't laugh about it. Now, here's what I want to tell you why. I have a lot of friends that will never step in a church again. It's because they went when they were young. And they watched business meetings. And they watched a bunch of religious people fight each other. and they watched a bunch of people stand up that they say they believe the Bible and rip each other apart in the parking lot. And they said, if that's Jesus, I don't want anything to do with him. And so I've been a lifetime telling them, listen, those people don't know Jesus whatsoever. They're not Jesus. And they don't even act like him. I said, those are Pharisees and Sadducees of the modern day. Because they still care about who? I'm being honest tonight, Pastor. You can't follow Jesus and follow yourself. So tonight, some of you probably need to come. If you're like me, I have to repent this more than once. I'm just going to be very honest. I have to repent this more than once a week. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry. I leaned toward what I wanted to do instead of what you wanted me to do. Any of y'all need to do that? And sometimes I have to say, Jesus, I got my eyes on what I want and not what you want out of me. I have found this. I'm just telling you what I found. As a fellow struggler in grace, when you get honest with God, he really does set you on the right path. As long as you're trying to lie to God, it never works. Because here's the problem. He knows who he is. The problem is I'm not sure who I am. You see, the guy was scared. The master was confident. And scared people shouldn't tell God who he is. But God's gracious enough to tell scared people who he is. He will save you. He will love you. He will forgive you. He will baptize you in heaven. I tell you, I would accept him tonight. Receive his grace. Amen. Repent of your sins and receive his grace. Now, for those of us that have already done that, we probably need to come down here and just kind of kneel down and say, God, probably need to be a little more obedient to some of the things you've shown me. Amen. Pastor Grant, you don't need to know what those are. You know why? They're not your business. You probably got some business to do. Amen. I know I do. So listen, I love you. Stay married. It's cheaper. It's one advantage. If you're having marital problems, I'd come down here and get. I've had this. Listen, I've been married 31 years, and it's a miracle a guy like me stayed married that long. Here's the way I stay married. Lord, forgive me for not doing what I'm supposed to. And now help me do what I'm supposed to. Does that make sense? You need to ask your wife to forgive you if you've been stupid. Wives, if you haven't been real nice, you need to apologize to your husbands. Women, let me help you with something. No man likes to be nagged. And you all have a habit of nagging all the time. And the reason Eve was talking to that snake is because she had done wore Adam out in the garden, and he is trying to not hear it anymore. It's just the nature of the beast. We men are naturally lazy, and you women think if you tell us 100 times, we will finally do it. We heard you the first time. We don't have a hearing problem. We have an obedience problem. First marriage got messed up because it was out of order. Adam should have choked that snake. He had authority over the garden. He could have grabbed that snake and smashed it upside that tree and threw it on the ground. But he stood there naked looking at Eve talking to it. He was named correctly too. Adam. I'd like to hit him when I get to heaven. We had an opportunity to have it the way we always wanted it. She leaned that apple over there and she could have said, baby, you in some serious trouble. I ain't eating that. But no, watch that dumb. And there the peril of the first man that fell to a naked woman, and millions fell afterwards. It's the truth. You know why? Because we want what we want and not what God wants. Let's pray. Lord, oh, what a beautiful revival you've given us. God, tonight we've had to deal with some things that are tough on us in the church. Lord, as just one of the followers of Christ at this moment of time, Lord, I apologize when I've listened to me and not you. I'm sorry for when I've not been obedient. Lord, I'm sorry for times in my life when I was more worried about my finances than I was my faith. And dear God, I thank you that you forgive us and love us. And if we just stay with you, eventually we get it. And so, Lord, I pray for followers tonight that they'll come and just consider, listen to what you got to say about being faithful. Lord, I pray right now for marriages to be healed. I don't know why that is. It's just on my heart right now. There's just some marriages that probably need to be healed. Whoever it is, God, I don't know what's going on. It's none of my business. It's your business. But Lord, I pray that you tap their shoulders and let them know that you'll keep them together. No matter what it is, Lord. No matter what they've been through. Even if it's crazy big, you're the healer of those things. Lord, I pray for these young people that it's just so easy for them to get tangled up in all kinds of crazy because they're just all kinds of crazy. Lord, may these young ladies, may they be beautiful brides one day. And may these young men, may they be valiant husbands one day. But that starts now. Lord, I pray against any drug addiction, whether it's prescription or street, that you would break those things in our lives and bring us to better health and better ways. Lord, may we give what you've given us in motion in the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Guys, it's just me and Grant here tonight, and I need some of the leadership team up here. I need some people that know how to pray tonight because God's going to be healing a lot of people tonight. And so as you come forward, just let God touch you right now. I don't know what time it is. I don't care what time it is. Please don't be so daggum time confined. Right now, God wants to do something in some people's lives. Right now, it's a moment in our church that God wants to do something. He wants to heal some marriages. He wants to heal some people. He wants to straighten some of you out financially. The reason you got that financial box is because you're disobedient. I'm telling you the truth. If you get obedient, he'll heal a lot of things in your life. And so if you need to be baptized, you need to come and get obedient to that. If you've not been saved, you need to be saved tonight. Now, I can't convince you to be saved. Only the Holy Spirit can. But if God is talking to you, I would take him up on it right now. Because he's going to walk in a lot quicker than my wife did in that living room. And it's going to be a white horse, and it's going to be a double-edged sword. And guess what? He's going to lay a judgment down. And here's what's scary. Here's one scary phrase of Jesus' judgment. There's going to be a lot of church people that say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, who? Says right there in Matthew, who? And you don't want to hear the word who from God. You want to hear your name. If you don't believe me, ask Zacchaeus. He called him by his name. Come on, folks, this altar's open. I'm done talking. God's not, though. God's saving people right now. He's loving people right now. He's going to baptize people right now. Just let him speak to you.